Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
We have never been closer to World War III than we are today under Joe Biden. A global conflict between nuclear-armed powers would mean death and destruction on a scale unmatched in human history. It would be nuclear Armageddon. Nothing is more important than avoiding that nightmare. We will avoid it, but we need new leadership. Every day this proxy battle in Ukraine continues, we risk global war. We must be absolutely clear that our objective is to immediately have a total cessation of hostilities. All shooting has to stop. This is the central issue. We need peace without delay. In addition, there must also be a complete commitment to dismantling the entire globalist neocon establishment that is perpetually dragging us into endless wars, pretending to fight for freedom and democracy abroad, while they turn us into a third world country and a third world dictatorship right here at home. The State Department, the defense bureaucracy, the intelligence services, and all of the rest need to be completely overhauled and reconstituted to fire the deep staters and put America first. We have to put America first. Finally, we have to finish the process we began under my administration of fundamentally reevaluating NATO's purpose and NATO's mission. Our foreign policy establishment keeps trying to pull the world into conflict with a nuclear-armed Russia based on the lie that Russia represents our greatest threat. But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the abolition of our national borders. It's the failure to police our own cities. It's the destruction of the rule of law from within. It's the collapse of the nuclear family and fertility rates like nobody can believe is happening. It's the Marxists who would have us become a godless nation worshiping at the altar of race and gender and environment. And it's the globalist class that has made us totally dependent on China and other foreign countries that basically hate us. These globalists want to squander all of America's strength, blood, and treasure, chasing monsters and phantoms overseas while keeping us distracted from the havoc they're creating right here at home. These forces are doing more damage to America than Russia and China could ever have dreamed. Evicting this sick and corrupt establishment is the monumental task for the next president. And I am the only one who can do it. I'm the only one that can get the job done. I know exactly what has to be done.
We are unified by our spirit that God made and our connection to the Creator.
That was our 47th president-elect, Donald Trump, speaking in a post on, I believe, his Truth Social network a few days after the historic victories for Trump and other Republicans in the November 5th national election, and rebroadcast by Alex Jones on his X channel, X.com channel, later last month. Trump was referring to things like Joe Biden, the true illegitimate president, in my opinion, threatening to give nuclear weapons to Ukraine to use against Russia, and other insane things the so-called deep state and its criminal cabal of bad actors are engaged in, trying to thwart or disrupt Trump and his administration from taking office. These people, many of them having no doubt committed or supported those who did commit crimes, are desperate to prevent Trump and his team taking over the leadership and operation of the federal government. We can expect yet more assassination attempts or plans for them anyway, and the possibility of nationwide riots, power outages, and cyber attacks and the like. in attempts to disrupt or prevent the new leadership takeover. But as Alex Jones of Infowars.com has said, if these activities and plans are exposed, the bad actors behind them will likely back down. But don't count on it. As I said in our last program last month, the struggle to save America continues. Although Trump supporters have been cheering and celebrating Trump's epic political comeback, realize that our fight against tyranny is far from over. I mean, just in terms of the November election, we barely held on to the House with, as I see it, numerous House seats flipped from Republican to Communist Democrat. We should have won 57 Senate seats for the Republicans instead of 53, and many other leftists won election or re-election across America. Much work on just the issue of election integrity remains to be done. Hello and welcome to another broadcast of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. You no doubt know about Joe Biden's first ever so-called preemptive presidential pardon of his crackhead bagman son Hunter for any and all crimes he's committed or may be charged with in the future and since the beginning of 2014. Now, Biden, as you may also have heard, is said to be considering these same type of highly legally questionable preemptive pardons for virtually everyone in his administration, as well as himself. I'm still researching the exact activities and causes of our profound political victories last month, but I believe these were in large part resulting from millions of Democrats who refused to vote for Biden 2.0, the cackling communist Kamala Harris, despite her probably having received yet more millions of fraudulent votes in yet more massive and well-organized election fraud. These millions of non-Harris voting Democrats, I think, did so because they realized their party is now controlled by communist zealots and globalist and oligarch imbeciles striving for totalitarian world government they stupidly believe they will be in control of and be immune from the evils of. And unfortunately, there are still far too many rhinos, that's Republicans in name only, who are aligned with the communist globalist Democrats. Anyway, hello and welcome to another broadcast of the Jim Benson Show, conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. We've got a lot of video material to present today, so I want to keep my commentary to a minimum. Let's continue with our video clip presentations. But first, I want to point out, as I always do, that while our programs are in no way meant to advocate any violence or other illegality, if we are to succeed in this historic and momentous political struggle against tyranny and take back America as we have known it, imperfect as it is, we must know the great evil and evil people we are up against. Here's an internet post by retired U.S. Border Patrol agent J.J. Carroll, giving his opening statement at a recent congressional committee hearing last month on the U.S. border mass insanity and illegality perpetrated by the Biden regime.
And I now recognize Mr. Carroll for 5 minutes to summarize his opening statement.
Chairman Higgins, Ranking Member Correa, Chairman Bishop, Ranking Member Ivey, and the members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to speak about the evil of child trafficking caused by the open border policies under President Joe Biden and his administration. I served in the United States Border Patrol for 24 years until I retired as a deputy patrol agent in charge in San Diego sector. I worked under five presidential administrations, and only one president secured the border, President Donald Trump. Border Patrol agents went from working and being supported by the greatest border president in American history to the worst, President Joe Biden. My last year in the Border Patrol was Joe Biden's first year in office. On his first day in office, I watched in disbelief as 94 executive orders cascaded down from Washington, D.C., obliterating every immigration policy that had been provided the most secure border in America's history. Border Patrol agents were forced to carry out unconstitutional orders that violated every law in the Immigration Nationality Act. President Biden, through Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, created policy out of thin air, ignored federal immigration law, and facilitated the largest mass invasion into America that the world has ever seen. The United States of America will have spent hundreds of billions of dollars in 4 years to fund the needs of over 50 million illegal aliens that populate our nation. Between 1 in 6 and 1 in 7 residents in America is an illegal alien. America has suffered the greatest demographic shift in modern history. After serving in the United States Border Patrol for 24 years, spending a year researching and writing a best-selling book entitled Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System, and filming 2 documentaries, I state with complete certainty that Biden, Harris, and Mayorkas intentionally, strategically, and purposely weaponized illegal immigration and used it as a tool to fundamentally transform America. Inside this invasion, the unspoken evil of child trafficking, and more specifically, child sex trafficking, has flourished. At the end of this current administration, the number of children trafficked will have grown to over 550,000 unaccompanied alien children known as UACs. This horrific number of children will have been arrested, released into America, and then lost. To put this into context, during President Trump's last year in office, Customs and Border Protection arrested 30,557 UACs who were accounted for and not lost. Conversely, in the first year of Biden's presidency, CBP arrested 147,975 UACs, most of which are unaccompanied, for and lost. In 2023, Congressional Hearings, Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, and Director of Office of Refugee Resettlement, Robin Marcos, forced to admit that their agency had no contact with over 85,000 UACs. They were lost. What did DHS, HHS, and ORR do to correct this humanitarian disaster? Nothing. In fact, all three agencies created further policies and procedures to increase the efficiency of moving UACs from the border to the interior of the United States to unknown and unvetted sponsors. Unaccompanied alien children were being handed off to total strangers. Then they disappeared into the darkness of labor and sex trafficking. In fact, a year later in August of 2024, the Inspector General with oversight over DHS issued a report stating the number lost UACs was not 85,000, it was over 320,000. My business partner, Ryan Madden, and I spent 6 months traveling across America filming a documentary titled What is Treason Trafficked? The evil of child sex trafficking is difficult to digest and understand. However, after conducting numerous interviews with officers, agents, and whistleblowers from every alphabet agency and department, it was made clear to us that the federal government knowingly and actively facilitated these criminal acts. After several exhaustive months of filming, interviewing, and then editing this documentary, I state without reservation that the United States federal government is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. The probability that thousands of these UACs are being raped at this very moment is 100%. The call to action has 3 parts, my call to action, and they're swift. And they happen at the same time. Every mean necessary to take is to be taken to ensure all 4 borders of the United States of America are sealed shut. 2, there's a national law enforcement emergency to locate and rescue every single one of the 550,000 unaccompanied alien children that are lost. 3, a full-scale investigation of every U.S. department, agency, and every NGO participating in this criminal act shall be launched, and every person involved shall be arrested. Finally, the intentional opening of our borders is an act of treason. I encourage questions, so I may further articulate this allegation. Thank you.
Biden said he changed the law on U.S. immigration, but the only thing he really changed was to ignore and disobey existing and longstanding U.S. immigration law, initiating and supporting the largest mass illegal immigration surge in America the world has ever seen. This was meant, no doubt, to facilitate the utter destruction of America as we have known it and transform the nation into a third world Marxist world government hellhole. Though he's called Trump a thug, I consider Joe Biden the real thug and gangster, a puppet of the Chinese and American Communist parties and totalitarian world government worshiping zealots and crazies worldwide. Remember, the communists, globalists, and other leftists and their supporters often accuse their opponents of what they are doing. They lie and say you lie. They commit crimes and say you are doing it. It's an old trick, so don't fall for it. Here's more on the appalling disaster of the Biden-Harris regime's policies and activities. This is a segment from The Liz Wheeler Show on YouTube, December 2, on the real reason Joe Biden gave this absurd catch-all preemptive pardon to his son and will likely do so for himself and the rest of his regime.
I'm surprised that anyone ever believed Joe Biden when Joe Biden said that he would not issue a pardon for Hunter. There are Democrats and liberals on X, even some conservatives, who are saying, Joe Biden is a hypocrite. He said no one was above the law. And then he went on to pardon Hunter Biden, even though he promised that he wouldn't. Really? You guys believed that? What would make you believe that? To me, it was very obvious that that was a lie all along. I think a lot of you will agree that that was obviously a falsehood because Joe Biden had to pardon Hunter Biden. The surprise is maybe that it happened on December 1st versus January 20th, but it's really only because Hunter Biden had a sentencing coming up in the next couple of weeks and Joe Biden wanted to avoid that. But I think we can expect that there will be additional pardons coming from the office of President Joe Biden before January 20th related to the Biden family crime syndicate. Also worth noting today that President Trump during his first term got impeached for asking, why did Joe Biden pardon Hunter? Remember when he was on the phone with Zelensky, president of Ukraine, in that infamous phone call, which led the House of Representatives of the United States Congress to impeach Trump. The reason for that is just that Trump asked about Joe Biden's activities in Ukraine. Well, it turns out Joe Biden believed that Hunter Biden was a criminal too. He knew that Hunter Biden's board of Burisma seat, this young man with addiction issues who did not have a speck of experience in the energy industry. Why would he be a board member? Because he was selling access to Joe Biden. The big guy issued this pardon, not because he's a loving father, not because he's compassionate of his son's addiction. The big guy issued a pardon to Hunter Biden because he's scared of Kash Patel. That is the reason for the Hunter Biden pardon. We're going to go into all of this and more. We're going to bring in Mike Benz to talk about Hunter's shady activities. Mike, good to see you.
Great to see you, Liz.
Mike, I find it funny looking at X to see all the different people that were like, I'm shocked that Joe Biden, the public servant, the good man, the loving father, I'm shocked that he would have lied and said, I won't pardon Hunter. And then he did.
Yeah, so shocking. Well, you know, I think the size and scope of it, though, I think is honestly even a little surprising to me. I mean, it's a 11-year total blank slate, get out of all crimes free card. I mean, this is, I don't know if this is completely unprecedented in all pardons in all of U.S. history, but I've never seen anything like it. This is 11 years from January 2014 to the present day. All crimes, whether charged or not. I mean, he could have murdered someone in between that time, and he's evidently got a pardon for it now. This is, and I think the reason for this wide scope is because what Hunter Biden was doing, as you correctly noted, was essentially selling U.S. foreign policy for the personal profit of the Biden family. That's why, you know, it seems like almost every member of the Biden family has a professional job, almost like in the mafia. It's like they keep it in the blood there so they can share bank accounts. They can keep things close hold. And everyone's got their different parts between Hunter and Jim. I know a lot of people are now expecting, James Biden to receive pardons as well. But the Hunter
one.
Don't
you think he will before Biden's out of office?
It seems highly likely. And it may have the same sort of almost indefinite term. I mean, why not make it 40 years going back? You know, why stop at 11? I mean, obviously, it's for the reasons that you noted. But I think what's implicated here is something far more vast and deep than Hunter Biden himself or even Joe Biden himself. I think this really gets to the heart of the diplomatic octopus of the U.S. empire, which could potentially create international and diplomatic blowback on the U.S. if these crimes are revealed not just to the American people, but to the international community. I think this is why you have the CIA all over this story. You have the State Department all over this story. You have USAID all over the story. You have the Pentagon all over it. I mean, you mentioned the Ukraine impeachment in 2019. That was led by the effectively the Pentagon through the Vindman brothers and the CIA whistleblower, whose name you were not allowed to say on social media for several weeks.
Eric Ciamarella.
Right. And Ciamarella was actually on the email chains about Burisma with Joe Biden directly from the CIA. And if you recall, we have whistleblower testimony to Congress that the CIA actually intervened in the Justice Department intent to do an interview of Kevin Morris, the sugar daddy who paid Hunter Biden's taxes for 5 years, 5 years consecutively. And when the IRS and the Justice Department sought to get more information about Hunter's financial sponsor, they were waved off by the Central Intelligence Agency. And this really gets to the heart of what Burisma and Hunter Biden are all about. So on the one hand, there's the personal profit side of it, which is the fact that Hunter was getting personally enriched by his presence on the Ukrainian private energy company, just as he was, for example, in ePlata, which was a microfinancing company to provide banking services to illegal immigrants. He had a almost 10% equity stake in that, Hunter Biden did, at the same time that his father was opening up the U.S. border in order to create a flood of the market for those microfinance transactions. And then on top of that, Joe Biden then used his Justice Department to pressure banks to provide banking services to illegal immigrants. So you basically have a locked-in market for the illegal immigrant microfinancing company that Hunter was on. It was doing the same thing with China and the LNG space there. But the Hunter, the Burisma story, I think, activated the FBI in the 2020 election cycle. It activated the CIA. It activated the defense and intelligence spheres, because nobody wants the dirty laundry to air on the international stage here. If Russia is able to hold up these disclaimers or these disclosures and these documents and forensically piece it all together, just how corrupt the whole U.S. involvement in Ukraine was, then that provides a powerful forum for Russian propaganda to win hearts and minds in Ukraine, in Central and Eastern Europe, to neutrals like India, or to Pakistan, and say, this is what the U.S. has been doing this whole time. They've been using this as their personal piggy bank, and here we have the direct files from the CIA, from the Pentagon, from the State Department. And there's so much more to this, but I think that's what's motivating this need to stop not just pardoning Hunter, but to block a Justice Department investigation into the underlying crimes.
Well, do you think this will actually stop any type of investigation? I mean, like I said, I do expect, you never know for sure, but I do expect Joe Biden to pardon his brother. But there are certainly other people associated with what happened, other people associated with the Biden crime syndicate. Are there enough people who were in the know that there could be congressional testimony? Because one of the interesting parts of the pardon, too, is that if you are pardoned, you cannot plead the fifth if you are called to congressional testimony, for example, because it's not incriminating anymore if you say anything, if you have been given full immunity. So theoretically, Congress could subpoena Hunter Biden, bring him in front of the Congress, and could require him to testify. And if they have some trap where they could prove that he was lying, they could then hold him in contempt. There are mechanisms to try to investigate this. Do you foresee any of that happening? Is there a way for it to be done successfully? How else could Republicans try to uncover this? Because I personally think it is important to still investigate it. It was so significant.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, the Senate Intelligence Committee could simply get a gang of eight together, so to speak, and simply look at all CIA files that have the word Burisma in it. And I guarantee you, if they were to do that, every single one of them would walk out of the meeting white as a ghost in the face from just seeing the sheer scale of what Burisma was being used for the, both the Biden family and for the U.S. diplomatic corps, because Burisma was being built up as an alternative to Russian gas. That was why you had the CIA and the State Department and USAID all over it, and the Atlantic Council with seven CIA directors. signed a formal partnership with Burisma on January 19th, 2017. That's one day before Trump was inaugurated. The Atlanta Council, with seven living former number one heads of the CIA on its board, signed a business cooperation agreement. They sort of consider themselves NATO's think tank. And so you have effectively the civilian arm of NATO personally kicking deal flow to Burisma. You have a formal USAID partnership. USAID has long been the sort of civilian finance arm of the Central Intelligence Agency. Yet Hunter Biden, who was on the chairman's advisory board of NDI, the National Democratic Institute, which is a longtime CIA cutout, it was actually created effectively in a letter from the CIA director in 1983, calling to have an NGO set up to do what the CIA used to do. And somehow Hunter Biden ended up being on the chairman's advisory board of that. Right next to Hunter Biden on Burisma, on the board of directors there, was no less than Kofor Black, who spent 30 years in the CIA and won a CIA Distinguished Medal Award. He was Mitt Romney's Sherpa to the intelligence community when Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama for the presidency there. You had Hunter Biden's own law firm draft a lobbying memo to the State Department, pitching them in 2014 on how useful Burisma would be to the State Department to if Burisma could be upscaled and Russia could be sanctioned and the Nord Stream pipelines could be sanctioned or blown up, then Burisma would capture the market that Gazprom used to have. And then, of course, at the end of it, you have all the private sector stakeholders who make billions effectively from capturing the European energy market that they just weeded Russia off. And so you can argue that's in U.S. interest because we've just nuked the economy of a hostile foreign adversary. But who's collecting the profits? It's not the American people. It's the Biden family and their donors like George Soros, who was personally leading the play to privatize Naftogaz, the main feeder that Burisma feeds into. And not only that, what were we doing militarily in Ukraine? You know, this whole war with Russia in Ukraine did not start in 2022. It was 2014 when the U.S. embassy overthrew the government of Ukraine, the democratically elected government, and then we're not expecting the counter coup when the Donbass broke away and did not respect the new U.S. installed government. There was no vote for Yatsenyuk in 2014. He was installed by Victoria Nuland and Jeff Pyatt. The hot mic conversation of that is freely available online. It's also on my X timeline at Mike Ben Cyber, if you want to look that up. But where did Burisma hold the mining rights for the gas that it was exploiting? It was in the Donbass, which had just broken away from Kiev and was now being backed militarily by Russia. And it was in the Black Sea. It was basically offshore of Crimea, which had just declared itself to be part of the Russian Federation in a referendum. And so what were we doing between 2014 and 2020? Why was there billions of dollars in military assistance going to Ukraine to recapture eastern Ukraine, where Burisma held all of its mining rights, and to recapture Crimea, where Burisma held the offshore gas mining rights? We were sending billions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer money to effectively improve the corporate revenue structure of a company that the previous vice president's son was on, and that the then incoming president would orient his entire foreign policy around. So we used the Pentagon to secure Burisma's investments. We used the CIA to do it. We used the State Department to do it. Hunter Biden personally lobbied the U.S. ambassador to Italy in the U.S. embassy in Rome in order to get Burisma the offshore gas rights in Italy and Greece. We used U.S. aid to secure Burisma's profits. We used NATO to secure Burisma's profits. But it's not the American people who are profiting from this. This was the personal profit of the Biden crime family. And now, evidently, those crimes are off limits because they have a blanket pardon.
And listen, in the YouTube live chat, Ronald Wirtz says Joe Biden is issuing a pardon for himself, essentially. And I think that's correct. Joe Biden, we think of him maybe as shaking hands with the air, not knowing where the stairs are, mumbling to himself, this doddering, senile old man. But truthfully, and this is not hyperbolic, he is one of the most corrupt presidents that our nation has ever seen. And we may not ever know the dollar amount of money that he and his family were able to collect from all of these really hostile adversaries, foreign governments and interests all around the world. I think too, Mike, that one of the reasons this happened on December 1st versus waiting till January 20th wasn't just the sentencing that was coming up for Hunter Biden. I think one of the pressing reasons was President Trump's nomination of Kash Patel for FBI.
Now let's watch and listen to part three of a video series titled Most Corrupt Joe Biden, put out on YouTube earlier this year by the channel Forgotten History. I haven't seen all the videos in this series, but did watch part four, and it details the financial dealings of the Biden crime family, as it is called, and is very good, in my opinion. Most of the videos from this channel are excellent and provide really good, historically factual presentations. So I recommend subscribing to the channel, learning from and enjoying their productions.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Patriot Gold Group. Upon coming into office, Joseph Biden completely upended the positive gains made by his predecessor, Donald Trump. Almost as in an act of revenge, he decided to use his executive orders to destroy the nation's economy and security to appease the far-left progressives who hated Trump and yet benefited from his successes. How much damage did Biden do with his executive orders? What did he do to undermine our national and economic security? How did he make the United States a weaker nation on the world stage? What was the result of his actions domestically and internationally? Hello, I'm Colin Heaton, military veteran, historian, author, and welcome to this episode of Forgotten History. From day one, President Biden got busy immediately. He revoked the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline and kept a campaign promise to destroy the fossil fuel industry after Trump had made the country not only energy independent, but the world's largest exporter of oil and natural gas, which explained the great economy and low energy prices, food prices, and transportation prices. In fact, Russia could not compete with our volume, quality, and quantity, as well as our selling prices to Europe, which brought the economy down hard for Russia. The Arab Gulf states were also suffering from the price of their crude dropping along with demand, as we did not need their oil. Biden was at least smart enough not to revoke the ban on Iranian oil exports, which under Trump almost had Iran begging for foreign aid as part of a U.S. and U.N. embargo on the terrorist state. But Biden simply chose not to enforce the ban, allowing Iran to pump and export 3 billion barrels a day, earning up to $100 billion as of this recording. In addition, he gave $10 billion in cash to Iran, and allowing them to export their oil made them wealthy enough to restart their financial support of their primary terrorist groups in the Middle East. The results were obvious on October 7, 2023. Biden bucks also supplied the weapons to include automatic rifles, rockets, and anti-tank missiles purchased from China and Russia, and has seen great increase in attacks upon U.S. troops in Iraq, Syria, and at ships at sea fired from Yemen by Houthi terrorists also sponsored by Iran. In 2020, the U.S. debt was $23 trillion and gold $1,500 an ounce. 2023, $33 trillion and gold is over $2,000 an ounce. There's a direct correlation to the national debt and price of gold. Donald Trump warned, "The U.S. dollar no longer being the world standard will be our greatest defeat in 200 years.
Dollar all over. But you take a look at what's happening to it now with other countries not using it.
Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Mention Forgotten History, and you'll always get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may be eligible for the no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 888-925-1970 for a free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is Consumer Affairs' top-rated gold IRA dealer 7 years in a row. So call 888-925-1970 today. Biden, who for years previously opposed same-sex marriage and gays in the military, flipped again. He allowed transgender people to once again serve in the military, which reduces combat readiness and increases the cost of the overall military budget, given the elevated health care requirements for many, forcing the taxpayers to pay for transitioning surgeries and aftercare, which also debilitates military readiness. One of Trump's great accomplishments was securing additional health care access for veterans by outsourcing care to private facilities with the guarantee of federal compensation. This program greatly benefited veterans who had suffered for decades with long waits for treatments and evaluation, especially by getting them into specialists within a matter of days in some cases instead of months or even years. My own son, Max, a Marine Afghanistan veteran, was a beneficiary of this outstanding program that even many Democrats supported. But Biden killed it when he decided that sending VA healthcare workers to handle the millions of illegal immigrants he allowed in, violating his oath of office and federal immigration law and national security, was more important. Biden initially reneged on his promise to raise the Trump-era cap of 15,000 refugees per year, before political pushback forced him to reconsider his stance. Instead, he just opened the southern border again, violating his oath of office and federal law. He also reversed Trump and rejoined the fraudulent, criminal, and totally unreliable World Health Organization and Paris Climate Accord. But there have been serious concerns. One former staffer reported that since at least 2020, during the presidential Democratic primaries, he was being forced to take dementia medications before each public appearance by his wife to render him coherent. This eyewitness said that before taking the pills, he was like a small child and unable to speak and was basically unable to function. This seems to be an explanation for his erratic and incoherent behavior. Biden also agreed to re-enter the Iran nuclear deal, which was a farce the day it was agreed upon by the Obama administration. And Biden, over the course of time, released billions of more dollars to Iran, which in turn funded more terrorism, which we are seeing today in Israel, Iraq, Syria, and Yemen. In one of the greatest intellectual failures in American history, Biden decided to change the plan for American forces to begin withdrawing from Afghanistan in 2020, negotiated by Trump and under the provisions of a February 2020 U.S.-Taliban agreement that set a May 1st, 2021 deadline, with the Taliban following certain conditions. The Taliban honored those conditions under Trump, and not one American serviceman was wounded or killed during the process. However, seeing the weakness of the man in the White House and the people he surrounded himself with, the Taliban began an offensive on May 1st, and by early July, most American troops in Afghanistan had been withdrawn. Biden incompetently addressed the world by saying, quote, "The likelihood there's going to be the Taliban overrunning everything and owning the whole country is highly unlikely," end quote. On August 16, 2021, Biden addressed the messy situation, taking responsibility for it and admitting that the situation unfolded more quickly than we had anticipated. The U.S. military completed the withdrawal from Afghanistan on August 30th. Biden called the extraction of over 120,000 Americans, Afghans, and their other allies an extraordinary success, although he acknowledged that up to 200 Americans, by his estimate, who wanted to leave did not leave, despite his August 18th pledge to keep troops in Afghanistan until all Americans who wanted to leave had left. He abandoned them. He never explained leaving over $80 billion worth of expensive and sensitive military hardware to be sold or given to Iran, Russia, and China to be reverse engineered and possibly used against us. He defended his decision on the method to withdraw, saying that Americans should not be dying in a war that Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves. We have already posted a video on this disaster, so we will not belabor the matter here. In another incomprehensible display of illogic, right after virtually killing the oil and gas industry by closing federal lands that Trump approved, on February 4th, 2021, the Biden administration announced that the United States was ending its support for the Saudi-led bombing campaign in Yemen against the Iranian-backed Houthi terrorists, and that he would reevaluate the United States' relationship with Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia had been bombing the Iran-backed Houthi rebels, the terrorist group that had been attacking Saudi Arabia, a group which Biden also removed from the official terrorist list, appeasing Iran, whom he paid off. So, Biden flips off the Saudis, destroying the strong bonds made by President Trump with the Abraham Accords that brought Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Israel, Morocco, United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain into a negotiation, with all those nations focused upon Iran as the primary threat to the region, in essence, a coalition. Biden also depleted the critical U.S. strategic oil reserve to compensate for the rapid drop in domestic production in order to offset skyrocketing fuel prices. But even worse, he was selling that oil to China as well, while at the same time giving Iran billions of more dollars directly and letting them ship their oil to fund terrorists. In order to try and recover from that imbecilic self-inflicted wound, Biden went begging to Venezuela and Saudi Arabia, nations he openly vilified, to purchase oil from those nations, which only increased the price at the pump and made us a weaker nation. When Biden went to the Saudis begging for more oil to be pumped and shipped to the U.S., the Saudis simply refused. Trump's projection of power kept the world's bad actors in check, but Biden's posturing and displays of frailty, stupidity, and weakness made the world a far more dangerous place. After Russia invaded Ukraine, which would not have happened under Trump, Biden inexplicably refused to allow NATO countries to provide the Ukrainians with high-tech Soviet-made equipment, especially missiles and jet fighter bombers, which the Ukrainians understood and could have put to good use. His apathetic physical response to the problem contrasted with his public verbal support of Ukraine. Only now is Biden being under pressure to supply Ukraine, much like when Obama and Biden said nothing and did nothing as Putin took Crimea in 2014. In Chapter 4, we will follow the money trails that explain Biden's blind-eye approach to these rogue regimes. But what Biden did was to appoint persons within the federal government who were both politically and possibly financially beholden to the Biden crime family. The American public, in fact, the world at large, has seen the complete abrogation of equal application of federal laws, and here are a few examples. The federal government agencies have been protecting the Biden crime family's operations, as well as the double legal standard applied to Democrats and Republicans, and how Joe Biden has, for the time being, benefited from this corruption. Here, we will lay out the roadmap for why Joseph Biden should have been indicted and possibly will still be indicted. Besides opening the southern border and allowing an unfettered invasion of our country by people from 174 nations and counting, Biden, on November 2, 2022, while packing files at the Penn Biden Center, Biden's attorneys found classified documents spanning his career both as a senator and his vice presidency in a supposed locked closet. According to the White House, the documents were reported that day to the U.S. National Archives, which recovered the documents the next day under FBI supervision. On November 14, the totally corrupt Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed U.S. Attorney John R. Lausch Jr. to conduct an investigation, which was a smokescreen. On December 20, a second collection of classified documents was discovered in the garage of Biden's Wilmington, Delaware residence. This was not a secure and approved location, unlike Donald Trump's storeroom at Mar-a-Lago, which was not only FBI approved and Secret Service protected, it also had 24/7 surveillance. Biden had classified documents dating back to the early 1970s, which he had to have stolen because he had no authorization to access. Given that no one except the president has control authority to remove documents from secure locations, and only the president has immediate declassification authority, these were obviously stolen documents, and despite being decades old, most were not declassified. These were felonies, one count per document, which were not only unsecured in a garage, but in the possession of an unauthorized person where others had direct access to these items. If any other American had been in possession of any of these documents, they would have to be reincarnated many times over in order to serve all the prison sentences that would have been issued. But, in another clear example of preferred justice, when the later search warrants were being prepared, Biden's attorneys were called by the FBI and warned in advance that there would be a search of various properties, and there were no SWAT teams and heavy weaponry, unlike with Donald Trump. These findings were made public on January 10, 2023, after several news outlets published articles on the investigation, many from leaked sources. On January 12th, Garland appointed Robert K. Hur as the special counsel to investigate the possible unauthorized removal and retention of classified documents or other records. Only a Democrat president protected by the liberal deep state could have that decision rendered and not be in handcuffs. On January 20th, after a 13-hour consensual search by FBI investigators, six more classified items were recovered from Biden's Wilmington home. Again, no charges. FBI agents searched Biden's other home in Rehoboth Beach on February 1st and collected papers and notes from his time as vice president, but they claimed they did not find any classified information. And yet, in another inexplicable decision, Biden allowed a Chinese spy balloon to fly over Alaska, Canada, and the continental United States as it passed over some of our most sensitive military installations. Only after the public was asking hard questions did Biden order the United States Air Force to shoot it down on February 4, 2023, off the coast of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The Biden administration was very quiet about the event until it was forced to admit the fact that the balloon was carrying two railroad cars equivalent worth of spy equipment. The Chinese government denied that it was a spy balloon, instead claiming it was a civilian meteorological weather balloon that had blown off course. The question is, since the U.S. already knew what it was, and Biden was informed, what was he doing as it continued gathering intelligence? The State Department said the balloon carried antennas and other equipment capable of geolocating communication signals, and similar balloons from China have already flown over more than 40 nations before this event. Our intelligence agencies were recording the same data that was being sent to China, so they knew what information was being gathered, and Biden still refused to act. In part 4, we will explain why. As of November 2009, Biden's net worth was less than $250,000, but miraculously, by November 2020, the Bidens were worth $9 million, at least on the books, which was explained away as largely being due to sales of Biden's books and speaking fees after his vice presidency. However, book sales reports and IRS documents showed that was not true, and in fact, much of that income was unaccounted for and undeclared foreign money. This was also the period where Hunter Biden flew with him to various countries, secured lucrative deals without any real experience in these various businesses, and sat on boards where his father had oversight of those countries as part of his duties as vice president. So far, the Biden wealth factor is estimated to be around $32 million, most of it undeclared and untaxed income, which has yet to result in anything resembling an indictment, except against his son, Hunter Biden, and we will break that down in greater detail in Part 4. In another display of the Biden Führerschaft, is when he unleashed the Department of Justice in true Gestapo fashion against those persons and groups he deems as enemies, such as sending SWAT teams to the homes of citizens who were not even wanted for violent crimes. One such victim was pro-life father of seven, Mark Houck, whose home was raided on September 23, 2022, and he was acquitted in federal court on charges of violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. His case was a clear violation of his constitutional rights, and he is planning to sue the FBI and other authorities following his ordeal. Biden's Justice Department, through Attorney Merrick Garland and the FBI director Christopher Wray sent memos out to field offices to spy on Catholic Americans in their churches, labeling them far-right-wing domestic terrorists. I have to wonder, where were they when burn, loot, murder, and Antifa were torching 635 cities in multiple events and destroying federal buildings, police stations, and actually killing people? This same Keystone Cops Collective also branded concerned parents who challenged their progressive pornography-riddled school boards as domestic terrorists and actually used the Democrat-run school boards and local district attorneys to conceal the violent rapes of young girls by transgender boys and then arrest the parents who came forward asking for answers. When Biden's daughter Ashley's diary was left behind in the halfway house where she was staying after drug rehabilitation, James O'Keefe, a man whom I met and spoke with of Project Veritas, was given what were purported to be copies. He decided not to publish the contents because he could not verify its authenticity, which is jurisprudent, and he handed the diary over to law enforcement, which was raided anyway. The cover story was that the diary had been stolen, which was proven to be untrue. But the supposed contents do not put Joseph Biden in a very good light as a parent. In fact, some of the reported contents would lead some jurisdictions to consider criminal charges. However, Biden's past came back to haunt him again, as unbiased fact-checkers began exploring his many outrageous claims, his pandering to voters, and even his constituents became legendary. We covered some of these in parts 1 and 2, but here are a few others that are simply mind-boggling and too good to pass up. These are some real gems. In part 4, we will continue the never-ending saga of Biden's lies to constituents and voters to curry favor, and we hope you find this part very interesting.
Capping off today's video clips, here's a snippet from a recent video posted on the Wolves and Finance channel on YouTube last month with host Zach DeGregorio. It's a presentation on Trump's pick of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and is part of DeGregorio's program on Trump's selection of Kennedy and other early cabinet picks.
Then we have Robert Kennedy Jr. He was appointed as Secretary of Health and Human Services. In this position, he will oversee the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA. His biggest campaign issues were around health. He challenged the way the government handled the pandemic. He challenged Big Pharma. He challenged the food manufacturing companies. I have never heard someone in government talk this way about health before.
If we took all of these chemicals out, our nation would get healthier immediately. We'd have fewer sick days. We'd have better focus. We'd have less anxiety. Our kids would learn more easily. We'd lose weight. We'd have more energy. We'd have fewer tumors and longer lives. But the Democrats, who claim to be all about health care, have stood by watching other countries ban these poisons and make our kids sick, asthmatic, hyperactive, and depressed. They left them on every supermarket shelf in America. They even used your tax money to put them in your kids' school lunch. So their big food and their big ag donors probably gave them all that golden handshake and the big money hug. And their big pharma donors probably called them up and thanked them also, because now they're going to make billions selling Adderall, Prozac, and rescue inhalers. Enough is enough. President Trump and I are going to stop the mass poisoning of American children. Together, we're going to make America healthy again.
Make America healthy again. That's such a good idea. Why has nobody tried this before? But for some reason, people are really scared that he's going to fire a lot of people at the FDA and change the way that things are done. For all you people out there who are complaining, let me just remind you that this is the current Assistant Secretary for Health. Who would you like to listen to for health advice? This person or this guy? Who is going to make America more healthy?
That concludes our program for today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a video podcast of today's program when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com. That's the Jim Benson Show pages and elsewhere on the internet. Look for us again 2 weeks from today with another in this same time slot with another program. And have a great rest of your day and evening.